بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأذن في الناس في الحج يأتين من كل فج عميق, كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. In Surah Hajj, which we had discussed most of the Surah, or we recited most of the Surah this evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the construction or the renovation of the Ka'batullah. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to find the qawa'id, or to find the foundations of the Baytullah. And thereafter to clear out the foundations of the Baytullah. And then once when he was done with the construction of the Baytullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him an instruction which is referred in the Quran Kareem, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ, that you proclaim to the people. You make adhan and you proclaim to the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that these people will come to you. Ala kulli dhamirin, they will come to you upon every lean camel, and they will come to you min kulli fajjin amik. Every single ravine and valley of the world, you will find people coming to the Baytullah. So in the Surah Hajj, in this one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises Ibrahim alayhi salam and the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam that your construction, your Kaaba over here, is always going to be frequented by people. And as Qiyamah is going to get closer, more and more people will come to the Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we are seeing today, whether it is the crowds of the ummah that are going there, or people who desire to go to the Baytullah, it is but the instruction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he built the Baytullah. You see, the Ka'batullah in its current form and construction has got its own history and has got its own guidelines of how it came into existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala earlier on in the Quran speaks about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna awwala baytin, the first house, wudhiya linnas, that has been constructed for the people, was the Baytullah. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the first one that built the Baytullah. But in time, the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam left the vicinity of Makkatul Mukarramah. It was no Makkah at that time. For centuries, Makkatul Mukarramah and the area around there, the valley, was uninhabited. The flood of Nuh alayhi salam came and went. Different world events came and went. And people did not reside in that vicinity, in that area. Then came the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to take his wife Hajar and his son Ismail, was an infant at that point in time, and to come to the Baytullah. Now this is a very well-read and well-known story. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him some instructions by saying, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَائِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ. We told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when the time was right, that he should look for the very foundations of the Baytullah, where the Ka'batullah was constructed, clear out that foundations and raise the walls. And then when he was done with the construction, came the second instruction, which is in Surah Hajj, which we recited, alhamdulillah, this evening's Taraweeh, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ. Now that you have done that construction, you do this, you proclaim in the people. The hadith that describes the reaction of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam goes like this. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to give adhan and to call to the Baytullah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return, that oh Allah, the only people that reside in the area of Makkah is myself, my wife Hajar alayhi salam, and my son, three of us. We three live in the area of this construction of the Baytullah. You want me to stand and to give adhan and to proclaim. How in the world will my voice reach the entire world? I mean, people are not going to hear me. This is the desert. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Ibrahim, adhin.
that, O Ibrahim, you give the azan. Wa anal baligh, but I am the one, anal muballigh, I am the one that is going to convey whatever message that you give. So in here is a hidden instruction and also a means of solace for the ummah. That it is your job and responsibility to talk the truth. It is your responsibility to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To put effect in one's words and to attract people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not your job and your responsibility. That was clarified by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wherein he tells Allah that you want me to give adhan. Nobody is here to listen to my adhan. It is for this reason that the ulama stated and said that when a person is traveling somewhere, even if a person is a shepherd and there's nobody with him, and it is the waqt and the time of adhan, it is still sunnah for you to call the adhan wherever you are. Because the repliers to that adhan may not necessarily be insan and the human being. All other makhluqat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listen to that adhan. And they respond in their own way. And they are a witness for you on the Yawmul Qiyamah that so and so came from nowhere, took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the hill somewhere because they were traveling, and as a result they will serve as a witness for you on the Yawmul Qiyamah. From that day on, Rasulullah s.a.w. made it a sunnah that even a single traveler, although it's not necessary, it's not obligatory that you call the adhan, but it is still a sunnah of travel that at the waqt and at the time of salah, you call the adhan and you perform your salah when nobody else is there available to call the adhan for you, and there is no masjid in that vicinity and no masjid in that area. Thus, where do we get this from? We get this from the instruction of Allah, wherein He tells Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ, and you call and proclaim in the people. Now who responded to that call? Every soul that had not as yet been created up until that point in time, that was in Alame Arwah, the bank of souls, before they were united with their body in this world, which represented every one of us. Every soul has been created well before the creation of this dunya, of this world. But it has not as yet been coupled with its body. That body was created and brought into existence when mother and father got together. But the ruh is already banked and stored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a place called Alamur Arwah. When the fetus is 120 days old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the malaika to take that ruh and to transport it inside the physical fetus which is inside the mother's body. And at the same time, to write down a number of things. Rizquhu, what is going to be the sustenance of this particular fetus. Ajaluhu, what is going to be the lifespan of this particular human being. Whether he's going to live for half a day or whether he's going to live for 100 years. It will be recorded and written at that point in time, and he will not be able to escape. His sustenance, whatever is meant to him, will come to him, and he will not be able to escape how many years or days or seconds of the dunya was written to him. And then it will also be recorded, shaqiyun am sa'id, that whether this person here will be a righteous individual, a good person, or whether this person will be destined to go in the direction of the fire of Jahannam. It will be recorded at that time that what type of a character this individual is now going to grow up to be. There is no indication whether this individual is going to be a Jannati or a Jahannami. That is in the knowledge of Allah. But what will be the inclination of the individual is recorded at that time already. This is not to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decree something else for somebody if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so wills. So when the soul was in that ruh form and Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ, that you proclaim in the people, whoever responded to the adhan of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam by saying labbayk, it will be maktub and written for the individual to come to the Baytullah. Depending upon how many times that ruh said labbayk and responded to to the adhan of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that is how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have written that the individual will now come to the Baytullah and return and go back home or do whatever is meant for them. So this surah Hajj indicates the indication or the start of Hajj, that how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was the first one to proclaim for people to come to the Baytullah for the purpose of Hajj. Now at that time, people did respond. And the ulama mentioned that one of the people that responded to the adhan of Ibrahim alayhi salam was a king called Dhulqarnain. The same king Dhulqarnain who appears at the end of Surah Kaf. That he came to a land and the people tell him that, Ya Dhulqarnain, Inna Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog, these two nations, they are causing fasad and corruption in the land. And he builds a wall and he builds a structure to protect them. He was a believing king. And it is assumed that he lived during the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And some of the ulama mentioned that he performed Hajj with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam amongst the other people who were believers in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Obviously, when Ibrahim alayhi salam passed on and his son Ismail passed on, the Ka'batullah in time after centuries were given to a new generation. That generation turned to idol worship and shirk. So there was no Hajj as per decreed according to Allah. People will still come and venerate the Baytullah, but they would do it in their own polytheistic ways. It took centuries before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he restored the Hajj of today, which was the mandate and the decree of his ancestor and his father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who mentioned centuries ago, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ فِي الْحَجِّ, that you proclaim to the people to come to the Baytullah for the sake of Hajj. This particular surah Hajj does not speak too much about the laws of Hajj. That is discussed earlier on in Surah Ali Imran. That what must a person do in the state of Ihram, Arafat, Muzdalifah, all these types of places are mentioned in that particular area. Nonetheless, most of the rulings regarding Hajj are not found in the Quran Kareem. They are taught directly by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A small percentage of it, the main ones, are found in the Kitabullah. But things like, when does Hajj become obligatory? On who does it become obligatory? The rules of travel, etc. That has been separately and independently taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It suffices to say, and we'll conclude upon this point over here, that Hajj is an absolute pillar of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that person who Hajj is farad upon them, walam yahujja, but does not perform Hajj, I do not care whether the individual dies as a Yahudi or a Nasara. What does that mean? That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was concerned about the iman of his ummah, says if this person is so negligent, that if Hajj is farad upon him, he's got the money, he's got the health, he's got all of those things, but does not make an attempt to go for the Hajj, at least apply, at least do whatever is within his power to do so, then I do not care if that individual dies as a Yahudi or a Nasara. It is a severe warning and a severe caution unto the entire ummah that you take the ruling of Hajj seriously. You know, deen doesn't demand that you go anywhere besides your house, besides your masjid, besides your place of work. Deen doesn't demand that you go long journeys and distances, go and sit with this scholar, go and sit with this maulana, go and do this. Deen doesn't even demand that you go to Masjidul Aqsa for that matter. But deen has got one single travel demand upon every believer, and that is their fard Hajj and their obligation, should it be fard to begin with. If it's not fard, then it's not fard. The person is not obliged to do anything. But if it is, and the means are available, then it does not behove the mindset of a Muslim that you make plans to go everywhere else, but you neglect the absolute obligatory journey that you have got to do, and that is going out for the sake of Hajj And that is only mandatory upon an individual once in their entire life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't go for hajj after hajj, year after year. He went for one hajj. Most of the sahaba radiallahu anhum did one hajj. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatul alayhi, because he was so busy defending the perimeters of Islam, never end up going for hajj at all in his entire life, because he could not leave the position and the station that he was stationed in. Nonetheless, the obligation is upon the common believer that they have to take this ruling seriously. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.